You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we're happy to have connected with Roger Palms today. Roger served as editor of Decision Magazine for many years at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and has walked with Dr. Graham in his faith journey for many years, and we just wanted to get an update and perspective from Roger on the man who served the Lord so faithfully and now is with the Lord at age 99. Roger, first of all, it's good to talk with you. Thanks for coming on the broadcast.
Thank you, Neil.
So you worked with Dr. Graham for many years in the ministry. What words come to mind, I guess, when you think of the ministry and the impact of Billy Graham?
Well, you know, I've been with Billy in many places. We've taken long walks together. He's chatted with me in my hotel room if we were traveling, and I with him, and we've just had a lot of interaction one-on-one. But I think what stands out in my mind is Billy was the same man no matter where he was. I can remember being with Billy in Las Vegas, where he walked up to a well-known singer and just kind of put his finger toward the man's heart, called him by his first name and said, "How are things in here?" And that engaged in a conversation about the Savior. But then I've been with Billy Graham, for example, in the great Yeouido Plaza in South Korea, where we had 1,100,000 people in one meeting. So I've seen Billy in both situations, and nothing changes. He cared about people, their souls. Are they going to heaven? He wanted them to know Christ as Savior. That was his constant burden.
In fact, I think we've heard that many times, that he was almost, I guess you'd say, single-minded, maybe even relentless about turning conversations around to sharing the gospel. It didn't matter, you know, if it was politics or economics or anything.
Well, he had the gift of evangelism, that's right. And he had the heart, and he had the Holy Spirit had his hands on Billy. Most people would say, you know, my pastor can sometimes preach a better sermon than Billy Graham. That may be. But I've seen the miracle of God working through him. And as many stadiums as I've been in and many other conferences where he spoke in this country and or in other countries, I've just stood there sometimes in absolute awe at what God was doing. I remember one time being in a stadium, and just for a different perspective, I left the press section and went up into the nosebleed section of the stadium where the teenagers were hanging out. And I was watching them, and during early parts, they were doing what kids do, laughing and joking and punching each other and so forth. But then during the sermon, absolute silence. And when the invitation was given, one by one, I watched those kids get up and start walking down to the field to be counseled. And then I glanced to my right, and here was a police officer. I hadn't noticed him before, but he was watching the young people too. And as I looked, glanced to my right, I watched him as he took off his cap, and tears were rolling down his eyes as he watched these kids. That was a beautiful moment, Neil. And I've seen so many like that.
You know, we think of, you know, Dr. Graham, some, I think, what, 215 million people or so, that he spoke to 185 countries. But it was the individual heart connection, right? I mean, he, you know, speaking, preaching the gospel, spoke directly to individual hearts. It was mass evangelism, but it was one-on-one.
It was always one-on-one evangelism, and that's why he made sure that one of his evangelistic meetings always had a year of preparation where people prayed, where people could be trained as counselors, so that people got that one-on-one care. A lot of people don't know that. They only remember what they saw on television. They don't remember that there was a year prior and 6 months to a year follow-up where those people were placed in churches and nurtured, shepherded, helped, yeah. And because that was his burden. He didn't want to just be coming in and preaching and leaving. He wanted those individuals to walk with the Lord. And, of course, so many millions have. I don't think anybody knows just how many came to saving faith or how many ministries Billy strengthened quietly, privately. I ran into people all the time in other countries who said, you know, I went to Bible school, Billy Graham paid my way, or we have this ministry over here, Billy Graham helped us pay for that. And nobody knows that. If I hadn't happened to be there talking to that person, I wouldn't have known that. So history will never know. Only heaven knows all that this man has done.
Of course, we've had opportunity to be part of his conferences in Amsterdam, the itinerant evangelists. And, I mean, Billy truly had a burden for others to equip others, too, didn't he?
He did. That's why he had those conferences. And as you'll remember, there are three of them. And they came from all over the world. They were selected because they really were evangelists. And they came to learn. And you and I have seen them praying, a cacophony or voices of every language, people praying, people on their knees. I remember one prayer meeting where I walked over on the floor afterwards, and it was wet from people's tears. They, too, picked up the burden, longing for the lost in their own country. And Billy communicated that. He communicated it at pastors' conferences in the U.S. I've been with him in many where he's encouraged them to be evangelists in their own churches. And many ministries have turned around, or people thinking about leaving the ministry have been turned around and come back. So there's just no measure, no way of knowing the impact of this man.
You referred to, you know, when there was a crusade, there were a year of preparation and prayer, but Billy certainly was a man of prayer. That was a key part of the entire organization, wasn't it?
Yes. He wanted people to pray. He wanted us to pray. He wanted to make sure we were praying. He knew that if God ever took his hand out of him, he had nothing to offer. So, yes, he wanted that prayer, and people for a year ahead of time would organize prayer groups, whether they were in schools or colleges or in homes or in workplaces or whatever, be one of the most prayed for places anywhere. The other thing that Billy would do before going into a city is he was always a learner, and he wanted to know the cultural situation in that place. So he would subscribe to the newspapers of that city for maybe a year ahead. And then when he went in, he would talk to the pastors. Tell me what you're facing. Tell me what the situation is here. So that he's not just regurgitating some canned sermon that he'd preached 100 times before. Each sermon was dealt with that particular city, that particular culture, those particular problems, what the pastors are seeing. He had it all in his mind when he was preaching so that he could take the same verse that I've heard him preach on maybe a dozen times, but it's a different sermon because he's preaching to a people where he's paid close attention to where they were coming from, what they were thinking. I've seen Billy in groups where I knew that he already knew more than the people in the group, but everybody in that group was the teacher and Billy was the learner. And that humility, God used that in just a marvelous way.
You know, you edited Decision Magazine for many years, and I'm sure that Billy probably, you know, he didn't want it to be about him, but you couldn't really tell the story without having his involvement, right?
We've had that. Billy and I had that debate. He never told me what to do. He always said, well, you're the editor. But I do remember one time he said, I think there's too much Billy Graham in this magazine. And I said, Billy, everybody wants your message. They want to hear from you. Other magazines are using it. We've got you. It's hard not to put you in there. But I spent my years trying to honor what he wanted, which was to keep him out of his own magazine. And that was not always easy.
Yeah. Roger, just as you reflect back, 99 years of faithful service, is there maybe one thing that comes to mind as you think today about Dr. Billy Graham?
Well, I think it, for me personally, I remember a walk we took together in Regent's Park in London. He called me up. He said, you feel like a walk? Well, sure. And off we'd go. That whole walk, Neil, he was asking me about my family and my children and how things were at my house. It was all about me. And that has stayed in my mind. This man cared about me and my family. And that was Billy.
Yeah.
That was Billy.
Reflecting with Roger Palms today, editor of Decision Magazine, served the Billy Graham Evangelist Association for many years, close friend of Dr. Billy Graham, went home to be with the Lord at age 99 this past week. And Roger, thank you for your reflections, and thank you for your years of faithful ministry with the association. It's been a great joy to have you as a good friend.
Well, thank you, Neil, and thank you for all the good work you've been doing for so many years on the radio. I do appreciate you very much.
Well, that's our program for today. If you missed part of the conversation as we reflected on Dr. Billy Graham, know that we do have a special broadcast we'll be running this weekend, Saturday at noon Central Time. You can hear more about the life and legacy of Dr. Billy Graham. If you missed part of our earlier conversation with Dr. Del Tackett, is Genesis History. Want to find out more about that? We'll post that interview on our show page, the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. We do have that email drawing for those free downloads as well. Go to myfaithradio.com and click on Connecting Faith. Tomorrow, talking about Happy with Lisa Harper here on Connecting Faith. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. And you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.